السلام حي على الفلاح
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Beloved Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored this ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah a special status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are indeed the best nation that was sent forth for the goodness of mankind. We are certain, dear brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not honor this ummah because of their color or ethnicity or because of their social status or any other consideration. We are certain that the only consideration that is considered is what follows these words from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You enjoy good, you forbid evil, and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not because any other consideration, and we are certain that the honor and the special status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives is not based on color or ethnicity or anything like that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Dear brothers and sisters, one of those qualities for which this ummah has been honored is the fulfillment of the obligation of enjoining good and forbidding evil and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a noble task. Why is it a noble task? Because it is the task of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is better than introducing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people and taking the people out of the depth of darkness to the light of the message of Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better in speech than the person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and work righteous and says that I am among those who have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent called his people to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. قَالَ يَا قُومِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُ. O my people, worship Allah, for you have no deity. Do you have no God that is worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Dear brothers and sisters, we have many opportunities to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And currently, we have a golden opportunity to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the lion's spot is upon the Muslims right now. We can take advantage of a negative campaign, like the campaign of assassinating the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and turn it into something that is good and beneficial, and call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Introduce the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the whole world. And this is why it's very important for us to know how to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because calling to Allah is not only the duty of the Imam or of group of Muslims. Rather, it is the duty of every one of us. Every one of us is supposed to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance with the knowledge that one has. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَلِّهُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَة. Convey from me even one single ayah. If you know ayah, one ayah, you should convey that ayah and do your part in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can we call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are the qualities that are needed? What are the etiquettes that must govern our calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There is one ayah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is very comprehensive. Few words that contain a lot of meaning. And it's very significant. And as a matter of fact, it lays out a whole methodology in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَأَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّذِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُرْتَدِينَ. Call to the path of your Lord. Just from these words, أُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ. Call to the path of your Lord. We can deduce four qualities that every person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must possess. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Udu'u ila sabili rabbik. Call to the path of your Lord. This implies that those people who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have ikhlas, must be sincere. The topic of their call should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their responsibility is to connect people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not with their own personality. So many times, and I'm saying this is very important, because many times in the course of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one forgets the main subject of the da'wah, the call, that it is Allah. The da'wah is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not about us. The personality of the caller does not matter. It is not to prove who knows more, or who is better, or who is more righteous. Rather, it is to connect people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is very important. Whenever our call lacks this important quality, it lacks the barakah, it lacks the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it does not yield the expected fruit from the da'wah. The second quality that is included in these few words, udu'u ila sabili rabbik. Udu'u ila sabili rabbik is a command. Call to the path of your Lord. This command was addressed to whom? Was addressed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in calling to his path? The answer is yes, necessarily yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did called the people to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He is infallible. This means that in order for us to apply this command, because this is a command for the Prophet and command for the whole Ummah, but in order for us to apply this command, and since Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did call to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is necessary for us to follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is necessary for us to follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he did apply this, and in order for us to know what is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the manners in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the priorities in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thirdly, from this few words of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we deduce that knowledge is a necessary, a quality for every person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is no other way to know how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam conducted da'wah but by knowing, by learning about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his practices and his manners in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot really acquire the first quality, and that is ikhlas, sincerity, except if we know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know his right and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of our heart, of our intention, of our devotion, of our submission to Him alone subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is important for us to know, in order for call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can we call people to Allah, how can we introduce Allah to people if we don't know Allah, how can we enjoy good if we cannot distinguish between what is good, what is evil. And part of the knowledge that is necessary in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowing the background of the people that we are calling. And we understand this also from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because addressing some people who are from the people of the book is different than addressing people who are atheists, people who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the da'wah is tailored to the person that is addressed. We cannot communicate with the people not knowing their level of understanding and their beliefs. Why? Because our purpose is to deliver the message clearly, so that they can understand it, and to provide for them al-hujaj wal-bayyinat, the evidences and the rational arguments that prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that our deen is the true deen by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a knowledge is like a person who is blind guiding other people their way. So this is something that is necessary. And if we all come to this conclusion, this implies another quality, and all of this from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, udhu ila sabili rabbika, call to the path of your Lord. This quality is al-amal, the practice, because in Islam the practice is inseparable from knowledge. Knowledge is very important and very necessary, but knowledge in itself is nothing but a means. The purpose of knowledge is to practice, is to act upon what we know. If we do say something and do something else, this is what makes us earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا. The example of those who were commanded to uphold the Torah yet they did not uphold it is like a donkey carrying a load of books. How much benefits, how much benefits the donkey derive from the books that he is carrying on his shoulder? Nothing. And this is how much benefit the person gets when he does not apply this. Plus, one would earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ O you who believe, why do you say something and do another? It is most hated in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say something and do another. Muslims who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be practicing what they preach. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that a man will be called upon on the day of resurrection and he will be thrown into the hellfire. And his stomach and inside will come out. And he will revolve around them as the donkey revolves around the mill that is in the hellfire. People who saw this, see this person, will say, oh, recognize him. And they will come to him and tell him, aren't you the person who used to call us to Allah? Aren't you the person who used to enjoin good and forbid evil? And he will say, yes, indeed, I am the one. But I used to enjoin good and abstain from it. And I used to prohibit evil and commit evil. So it is a necessary quality that we practice our knowledge, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equate not practicing knowledge with ignorance, because the purpose of the knowledge is for it to be practiced. From these words, few words, we deduce that the person who called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must, number one, be sincere. Number two, follow the footstep of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, have knowledge so that one can call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number four, he must be a practicing person, a person who practices his knowledge. These are very important qualities for every person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Let's go back to the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أدعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. Call to the path of your Lord with wisdom, بالحكمة. And we hear Allah this word, hikmah. And we need this word, al-hikmah. We need to use wisdom when we are calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to practice, to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is the right application of what is right. So in Islam, it's not enough that we have knowledge, but we have to apply our knowledge in the right manner. Having knowledge and applying knowledge are two different things. I'll bring you one example from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of a sudden a man comes into the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and starts urinating in the middle of the masjid. Just imagine somebody who comes to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not like any other masjid. It is a masjid that has its sanctity, and he exposes himself and he starts urinating. The Sahaba just rushed in order to deter and to punish this person. Because urine is something that is najis, najasa, impure substance. And the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pure masjid. However, this is the knowledge. The knowledge is najasa is something that is not good. But the hikmah, and this is tells us the right application of this knowledge in that situation, was in the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, دعوه ولا تزرموه وأهريقوا على بوله سجلا من ماء. Leave him and do not cut his urination. Rather, after he finishes, pour upon his urine a bucket of water. Now, where is the wisdom in here? The wisdom is that the damage has been done already. So the choice is not whether to pollute the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not, because the damage has been done. Now, the choices that we have to either to restrict this najasa, this impure substance, to one place, or to spread it all over the masjid. Now imagine a person who is still in the process of urinating and running away from people who are after him. They want to punish him. Now the urine will spread all over the masjid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood this, and he said, "Let him continue. Let him finish. Don't harm him by just making him to stop something that could be not stoppable." And the solution is, and again this is another lesson from the Prophet ﷺ, that for every problem there is a solution. If the problem is that we have najasa in the masjid, there is a way to purify that place where the najasa is. And this way is by pouring some water on that, by overwhelming the place with water, so that it purifies it. So this is an example of the right application of the knowledge. Now, another example, and this is from the time of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, when he passed by some people, by some Mongols who were drinking liquor. And you know, the Muslims suffered a lot from Mongols, because they used to kill people all the time. They committed a lot of massacres. And some of the students of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah wanted to start just enjoying good and forbid evil and tell them not to drink liquor. But Shaykhul Islam said, "No, leave him. Leave them. Leave them drinking." Why? Because when these people are not drunk, what are they doing? They are killing Muslims. So they are better off to keep drinking rather than killing Muslims. And again, here we are talking about damage control. The choice is not whether they drink or not. The choice is whether to kill or drink. So at this point, in that specific situation, it's better not to tell them to abstain from drinking. So this is something that is very important, that we have the hikmah, and the hikmah is to be exact on target, meaning to apply what is right in the right manner, meaning we choose the right manner and the right timing and apply the relevant type of knowledge to a specific situation. And this is wisdom, and this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us to have when we are calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ Call to the path of your Lord with wisdom, and with good exhortation. These words by themselves teach us how to remind people, how to admonish people. It tells us that there are two types of admonition. There is two types of reminders. One is a good reminder and one is a bad reminder. So not every reminder is a good reminder. And this is important. You cannot come to a person who is not praying and tell him, pray or go to hell. Okay? Or somebody who is not a Muslim, tell him, be a Muslim or go to hell. This is not a right manner in reminding people. Rather, reminding people should, number one, you select the right timing, when the hearts are more tender, when the people are more likely to accept what you are saying, and use the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most kind manner, and in order for you to reap the benefit of this reminder. Because again, we are not in a race, we are not in a soccer match, we are not scoring points. Okay, our intention when we call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to save people from the hellfire. So we should be very concerned for the well-being and the welfare of people, and just not say the word, rather say it with the manner that we believe it will be more accepted by people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very concerned about the welfare of all people, and he was so much concerned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ, that فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذِي الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Are you going to destroy yourself? That is because of his deep concern and his care for the well-being of the people, and his interest that they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has given an example about himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, wherein he says that مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُكُمْ كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ أَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَجَعَلَ الْجَنَادِبُ وَالْفَرَاشُ يَقَعْنَ فِيهَا وَهُوَ يَذُبُّهُنَّ عَنْهَا وَأَنَا آخِذٌ بِحُجَزِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تُفْلِتُونَ مِنْ يَدَيَّ. The Prophet ﷺ said, my example and your example. And here Allah, Rasulullah is talking about the whole humanity. He's not talking about Arab or Ajam or this ethnicity or that. He's talking about Ummat al-Da'wah, which include the whole of the people, all mankind, from his time until the day of resurrection. That مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُكُمْ, my example and your example, is like someone who has ignited fire, because of which insects and moths and flying insects started getting attracted to that fire, and therefore getting burned by it. And I am holding fast to you by your waists, but you are fleeing away from me. This is how much merciful Rasulullah ﷺ was towards people. And this is the one of the qualities that every person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have. That is, call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom and with gentleness, with kindness, with compassion, with mercy, because our purpose is a noble purpose. And that is, if we see people heading towards the hellfire, it is our duty to do whatever we can to just redirect them. أقول قولي هذا وأقم الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر.